Good afternoon, friends, and you are listening to EBC Radio 1170 AM, Aapki Choice. Time had been very difficult. Lots of people were affected mentally, physically, financially. Today we have the third show in the Catholic Charities New Jersey Hope and Healing COVID-19 Response weekly series. Today's episode is entitled Financial Well-being in a Disaster. I want to welcome our host, Noel Davis, Program Manager of Catholic Charities, New Jersey Hope and Healing Crisis Counseling Program, responding to COVID-19 through December 21st of 2021. Welcome, Noel, on EBC Radio. How are you doing today?
I am happy to be here with you today. Thank you, Alka. Hello and good afternoon to all of our EBC listeners.
We know you have been on EBC Radio, but you remind our listeners about the New Jersey Hope and Healing Program, please.
Okay, yes, thank you. And I want to say thank you again to EBC Studios for providing us this platform to reach the South Asian community in northern and central New Jersey for our program coverage. The New Jersey Hope and Healing Crisis Counseling Program, which is a CCP, is responding to COVID-19, and we were first offered these services in April of 2020 through 12 different nonprofit providers and social service entities. That was in collaboration with the New Jersey Department of Human Services, Division of Mental Health and Addiction Services, Disaster and Terrorism Branch, and that is funded through a FEMA SAMHSA grant. Our Hope and Healing Program at Catholic Charities is actually a partnership that's comprised of teams that are located at the Catholic Charities Archdiocese of Newark, Catholic Charities Diocese of Metuchen, the Catholic Charities Diocese of Patterson, and the Catholic Charities Diocese of Trenton, which is the lead partner. The program is currently responding to the COVID-19 pandemic into December of this year, as you mentioned, and that is with Disaster Response Crisis Counseling, which is a neighbor-to-neighbor approach to disaster response work, wherein ideally it's community members and not mental health clinicians that are trained in the CCP model to offer short-term peer-based emotional support, information and referral, and that's pertaining to whatever given disaster we may be responding to. And so in this weekly series, we are going to focus on tips to improve mental health and resiliency, as well as different types of resources that may be needed by those impacted by COVID-19, and really by all of us that are living within this environment that's been created by this pandemic over the past 19 months. And we are going to be looking to specifically tailor that content to the South Asian community listening whenever we can.
Thank you, and we are so happy to have this series here on EBC Radio, Noel. Can you tell us about today's show? I understand we are going to talk about financial well-being today. How does this connect to your crisis counseling program?
Yes, great question. As a disaster response crisis counseling program, we understand that for most people, your family's well-being is your primary concern, most especially when times get tough. And that happens during a disaster like the COVID-19 pandemic. So one type of well-being that may have suffered during the past year and a half might be your family's financial well-being. And that can appear in many forms, including families who are maybe having trouble meeting monthly expenses, others who are unable to set aside enough money for an unseen emergency right now, or those who are simply having difficulty making an informed decision about their finances because of these strains. So even if you're not currently suffering losses to your financial well-being, a lack of financial resilience can leave your family unprepared for the next unexpected disaster, you know, whether it's something like COVID-19 pandemic or some other traumatic event. A lack of financial well-being can add up to a lot of stress, which often ends up impacting our emotional well-being and really the dynamics of your family. So that's why New Jersey Hope and Healing has brought in some professionals today from MassMutual, New Jersey, NYC, and to talk to us about financial well-being. And I do want to first just take a quick opportunity to note that while MassMutual reached out to us to be a part of our program and offer this educational information to our listeners today, that neither this program, the agencies that administer it, our funders, or EBC Radio are receiving any benefit from MassMutual or endorse their services above their competitors. So that being said, I'd like to welcome our professionals, Michelle and Ekta. Can you take a moment to introduce yourselves?
Hi, yes. Good afternoon, and thank you for this time and being a part of this event today. My name is Michelle Harlan, and I'm a financial advisor affiliated with MassMutual New Jersey, NYC, and that's a general agency of the Massachusetts Mutual Life Insurance Company. I'm so happy to be here today and share my knowledge of the insurance and investment services that will help our listeners achieve a successful financial future.
And hi, I'm Ekta Parekh. I'm also a financial advisor affiliated with Mass Mutual New Jersey NYC, a general agency of Massachusetts Mutual Life Insurance Company. I want to say hello. Kem chho bada? Majama? Aur sabko mera pyar bhara namaste. To all our listeners, and let them know that my goal here today is to be a resource that will assist the community members and business owners listening with education on the skills, knowledge, and experience they will need to meet their own goal for financial well-being.
That is great. I also hope we can achieve this goal. And Ekta, it sounds from your greeting that you have some language ability that can help you to reach out to members of the South Asian population listening. So can I ask you, what kind of experience do you have with that regard?
Oh, yes. I speak fluent Gujarati and Hindi. At Mass Mutual, I have been serving South Asian small business communities like Asian American Retail Business Owner, which is also known as ARA, Asian American Hotel Motel Association, also known as AHOA, along with professional communities like American Asian of Physicians of Indian Origin, also known as API, and Kerala Hindus of New Jersey. And I also work with a lot of South Asian families. If Mr. Noel, if you let me share a quick story here.
Of course, please.
So most of us are worried about our kids' education. Few months back in May, I got a call from one of my South Asian clients to inform me that his daughter got accepted in an Ivy League college. And they wanted my opinion on how to pay for the college and how it will affect the financial plan we have created. After a good review, we discussed, is it a good idea to take loan or how much loan needs to be taken or from where? They found this very helpful, and I got a thank you call very swiftly in August.
I love that. I'm sure that most people don't really think of financial planning as a service industry that changes lives for the better, but I think it certainly can be. So that's going to bring me to our topic of discussion today, disaster-ready financial well-being. And by way of introduction, I am wondering if we can start by defining some terms. So, Michelle, maybe you can help. What does the term financial well-being really mean in context of our conversation today?
Sure. I'll return to a reliable source here, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. They define financial well-being as, one, having control over day-to-day, month-to-month finances, two, having the capacity to absorb a financial shock, three, being on track to meet financial goals, and four, having the financial freedom to make choices that allow one to enjoy life.
Great. Well, that seems pretty straightforward. So now maybe you can tell us what that really looks like, let's say, in the decisions we make in our earned income, for instance.
Yeah, of course. You know, often employers provide a suite of traditional benefits to their employees, health and medical coverage, defined contribution plans such as a 401k, and voluntary benefits like life and disability income insurance. These are all important tools families need for financial security. Unfortunately, the lack of family financial well-being can also lead to the ill-considered use of these offered benefits. Families may choose too much or too little coverage, select plan options that don't match their needs, or worse, opt out of participation altogether due to a lack of understanding. Accessing comprehensive financial education is a great way to help your family get the knowledge and insight they need to make better financial decisions. This can result in a more engaged and productive household that is able to make the most of the benefits being offered by an employer.
That's a really great point for those who might be in open enrollment right now, by the way, or who might be considering coverage changes after life lived in a pandemic. I know I am. I'm sure a lot of people don't think really of their benefit package as a piece of a financial plan. But of course, it can be really difficult to decide on your own when you're making those types of decisions that will keep your household safe from unexpected disasters, but is also going to allow you to get the most out of your employment package while also ensuring you have enough to take home to meet your household needs so that you can, you know, absorb a financial shock, as you mentioned earlier, Michelle. So what can you say to listeners that might be having trouble making these types of decisions in this environment?
Yeah, I get it. I mean, a lot of times these kinds of choices can be overwhelming to look at on your own, especially when you're trying to navigate changes to your priorities that may have been caused by the pandemic. I would say ensuring you're prepared for the unexpected will start with savings. The Federal Reserve Board's annual economic well-being of U.S. households study in 2017, which still applies today, found that 40% of adults could not manage the unexpected, meaning they don't have the cash on hand to pay for an unexpected expense of $400. Saving money is the foundation of every financial strategy you and loved ones will have. And with savings, like anything in life, you'll need to set a goal for yourself. I bet most of our listeners know how to set a savings goal, but let's walk through it. You identify the cost of the thing you want, whether it's a down payment on a home or a car, or perhaps it's a vacation or something else. You then determine when you want this thing, today, tomorrow, 5 years, and set a timeline. When you have a cost and timeline, do a simple calculation, total funds needed divided by number of months in your timeline. This tells you how much you'll need to save each month to reach your goal. That's a tried and true way to reach a savings goal, but unfortunately, life can be unpredictable. And so you may not be able to reach a flat dollar goal each month. So instead, maybe you want to consider setting a savings goal as a percentage of your monthly take-home pay, particularly if you don't have consistent salaried income. So let's say 10% of your net monthly income. Include this savings amount as a fixed expense line item in your monthly budget, or maybe even set up a direct deposit system that automatically deducts that set amount into a savings account. That way, you are sure to set your savings aside each month. From there, you can prioritize how that savings should be used, and those funds will be there for those unexpected emergencies.
Yeah, wow. So saving can be really hard, especially for so many that are living through a pandemic, if they have had serious impacts to their income. But so that's why I really like what you said about switching to saving a percentage of your income. If you have lost income throughout this year, that way you just get to keep on pace of the practice of saving. Either way, I agree, though, that saving is so important for financial resiliency and for planning for the next disaster. So, Agatha, can you offer any tips regarding financial resiliency?
Sure. Another way to build financial resilience and improve financial well-being is through investing. And let me take a moment to note that when I say investing, I am talking specifically about putting your money into financial instruments, such as one, stocks or equity, which is purchase of a share in the ownership of a company. Two, bonds, which is a loan you make making to an entity you purchase it from and which is repaid by with interest. Or three, mutual funds, which is when your funds are pooled with other investors to purchase a collection of different instruments. And also included in this discussion would be cash and cash equivalents, such as CDs or money market accounts. I am bringing up investment after Michelle has spoken to us about savings, because if you think about it, the money you will be investing will most likely to be the money you have saved. So when you consider your investment vehicle, you have to consider what you are saving for. Depending on your savings goal, you may need to consider investment tools that work for the timeline of your goal and its risk tolerance. There are many tools available online and professionals that you can access to help you understand the connections between your goals, timeline, and risk tolerance. So we won't go into that here. Just know that you need to be realistic in your investing expectations. Whether your goals and objectives are, know that you will probably not see a turnaround in your investment right away.
Right. So when you say you won't see a return right away, I get the sense that you mean potentially for a very long time. So these are big kind of high stakes goals that people may be working towards, something like a home, their child's education, retirement, and not just like a nice family vacation. Is that right?
Yeah. Oh, yes. It may take months or even years before you see significant growth. So investments are a long-term propositions and would ideally be part of your savings plan, but would not be your only household savings. And I want to prepare our listeners, consider a long-term investment that there will be a market's ups and downs. So it is important that you don't panic when the things don't go your way. Something to keep in mind as an example, not that this is an option for direct investment, but it's our market gauge. The S&P 500 annual returns on average from 1950 to 2017 were 8.92%. But in the 67 years of span, there were many market downturns. What is important to know is that the longer you have invested in the market, the more likely it is for you will show gains over the long term.
Okay, so speaking of investing for long-term goals, can you speak to those that may have been planning to retire around now, but then COVID-19 disrupted their timeline?
Yes, we have seen an increase in household requesting financial planning services due to the changes in their lives or in the market as a result of COVID. And anyways, retirement isn't what it used to be. People are living longer. Some people are working part-time into retirement. Many people are considering retirement the next phase of life, life after full-time work, because every person is different and everyone will have a different experience during this period. We recommend one-on-one meeting with a financial planner. But I can share here the most everyone needs to consider the same primary questions up front. What do I want my retirement to look like? This will involve answering questions like, where will I live? How will I spend my time? What will be most important to me in my retirement? How long will my retirement last? This last question is an important one. Today, an average life expectancy is about a decade longer than it was in 1960. Think about how long your grandparents lived. There is a good chance that you will live as long or even longer. With that in mind, it's no stretch to say that many people should be planning for 20 years or maybe even 30 or more years into the retirement. With that span of time to consider, you will want to make plans that are robust enough to evolve with many changes to your health, wellness, and priorities you will experience.
Thank you, Akta. I think retirement planning can be very daunting for most people, even under the best circumstances. So it makes sense to me that doing this in a pandemic with all of this uncertainty would be much more complicated and would probably require professional help. So now that we have heard these tips for building financial resiliency and financial well-being for the future, I do want to switch gears because it occurs to me that some of our listeners may want to know what they can do to improve their financial well-being today, especially as they have considered hard lessons learned from this pandemic. So, Michelle, can you tell us about some steps our listeners can take today to protect their families and their assets in light of what we have learned from this disaster?
Yeah, of course. So, you know, when you are expecting the unexpected, such as a disaster, an important part of your overall financial well-being is to take the steps necessary to fully protect your assets, like your home or your car and yourself, from liability. Most of us would not be able to foot the bill outright should a fire or tree damage our homes or if we were found responsible for unintentionally harming someone and are required to pay their hospital bill. If they are not careful, many property owners, especially those who may be in search of low-cost policies, can find themselves underinsured or with a policy that doesn't cover a particular circumstance. So it is critical to evaluate and reevaluate your property and casualty, what we call P&C coverage, so as not to fall short in the event of an unfortunate incident. Hurricane Ida is a prime example in terms of flood insurance, which I'm sure a lot of people have learned a lot more about these days.
Thanks, Michelle. I will add to this that it is also important to insure yourself as an asset, especially considering that your ability to earn an income may affect your most valuable asset. Here's a simple exercise to illustrate or to talk about. What I mean is, take your current salary and multiply it by the number of years until you retire. So in a hypothetical example, let's say a 30-year-old who makes $50,000 a year has 37 years until retirement. So $50,000 is their salary multiplied by 37, the number of years until retirement, equals $1.85 million in cumulative income between now and retirement. Keep in mind, this hypothetical example does not take in account of any future salary increase. Now we need to compare that number to the value of any other assets they may have, such as home. Is the value of your future income larger than any assets you may own? If so, then yes, your ability to earn an income could be considered your most valuable asset. And a few moments ago, we discussed how important it is to insure your home, your car, or against any losses. So it may make sense to insure your most valuable asset against loss, especially to insure against the inability to generate an income due to long-term disability. Of course, you might assume that the odds of becoming disabled for an extended period of time are low, but that may not be true. According to the Social Security Administration, for today's 20-year-old, the risk of becoming disabled before age of 67 is 1 in 4.
Wow. And in light of what we've all learned from COVID-19 and the lingering impacts for the health of its survivors, regardless of their age, this is a really important insurance to have, I guess, in today's world. So I did notice, though, that your example there, you talked about a young earner in the household. But with many people working from home this past year, I think a lot of us, especially now as we start to go back to the office, are seeing the lost value of work we were able to do in the home. So should households be making these same considerations for members that may not earn a paycheck but are still producing saved value by working from their households at home?
Absolutely. We've come across this question a few times. A household is similar to a two-wheeler. If one wheel falls off, it's very difficult to balance on one wheel. Similarly, if a member of the family doesn't work outside of the home, maybe they're raising the kids, it's hard to value a life and what it costs to provide the same contribution to the family. Now, someone will have to take care of the household chores, be present for the kids, or maybe reduce the working hours of the surviving parent to take care of everything. For these families, we focus on financial support of other areas without guilt. The reality is you may have people other than a spouse or kids, like a parent and a special needs sibling, that may need financial and physical support. So think about who in your life really depends on you now or may need you in the future. It may be more than the people you think, like who's living under your house.
Okay, great. So that's a really great point. And I think many homemakers probably know about that value that they have to their households, but they might not have considered it in that way. So my final question, if we can wrap up kind of quickly, if I can ask if there's anything novel that MassMutual is doing in response to COVID-19 impacted families and individuals.
That's a great question. So yes, we are here to protect those who are protecting us. What do I mean by that? We have created the MassMutual Health Bridge Program, a free life insurance program for eligible healthcare workers on the front line of the COVID-19 pandemic. It's our way of supporting healthcare workers and protecting the ones they love.
That's great. So as always, I want to ask how our listeners can contact you. So in case any more information about what we discussed today, if you can share that.
Sure, yeah. So Ekta and I are a team. You can either call Ekta Parekh at 848-218-1572 or me, Michelle Harlan, at 908-252-2399. Then we'll combine forces to work on your family's financial goals together.
Thank you so much for joining me today on EBC Radio to talk about disaster-ready financial well-being. I invite our listeners to tune again next week to hear once again about the services being offered by my own program, Catholic Charities New Jersey, Hope and Healing. That would be next Tuesday at 3:30 p.m.
Michelle and Ekta, I also want to thank you for this great information about financial planning. And Noel, thank you very much for bringing this education to our EBC listeners. As always, I want to remind our listeners that if you or friend or neighbor needs help, please, with the COVID-19 impacts, please call New Jersey Hope and Healing at 732-204-6510. Help and support are only a phone call away. Do not forget to tune in next week and send us questions and topics, ideas for this series at hopeandhealing@ccdom.org.